Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers, most of us in New York, who would like to bring astrology and to you, make it accessible through our information packed and interactive calls. We are looking forward to your calls tonight if you'd like to call in a little later on. First, we'd like to talk about the astrological weather here. But let me introduce first. I'm Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you from North Dakota. And we have also on the line Mark.
This is Mark Wolf.
This is Salo.
Speaking to you from New York City, over on the west side.
And Ann Ortley here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side. So welcome to Access Astrology. Heather, what do you think about this week ahead? I'm looking forward to it myself.
It should be eventful. Today, with this, we have the last week of the Sun in Aries, which is always keeps us action-packed and moving fast. We've got Venus, Mars, and Uranus all lined up in highly intuitive, very emotional Pisces. But we have Mars conjuncting Uranus, and Mars, the planet of action, conjuncting Uranus in the dream sign of Pisces. It's the water sign. And we saw this excitement this week when we have the great, with the buccaneer problem with pirates in along the coast of Somalia, which is, we have Mars, which is Uranus, the unexpected, Mars, the military, in the sign of Pisces, which we associate with oceanic depths and water. And so we expect to see that literalize continuously this week when we see more military action along coastline. But we also see an activation of our dream world. With this Mars Uranus conjunction, it's like lightning hits the subconscious. So notice the unusual dreams, the strange energy. Don't be surprised if your mate or friend suddenly says, you know, I've got this dream. I've just got to go. For us, it was my mate turned and said, I've got to go buy a camper. I said, no, you don't. We don't have to buy.
Jamie wants a camper?
We got a little funny 1971 pop-up, the hard side one we could bake into Yellowstone. But anyway, off Craigslist, super cheap.
Okay.
You won't believe the strange ideas that people that you know will suddenly come up with a burning desire, and it feels so urgent to them, because that's one of the key words for me with Mars-Uranus conjunction is this intense urgency, whatever it is. You know, it's intense urgency, and it feels like it must happen now.
Yeah.
Or depression, because it isn't. And that's one of the pieces that I'm noticing as kind of the undercurrent themes. We look at, it can help break us out of some stuck place in our life. You said you were throwing things out. You were clearing.
Totally. I've been pitching.
It is a purging aspect.
It is. It's a purging energy. And I had a couple friends who started colonic cleanses and, you know, and body cleanses.
Mm-hmm.
My assistant came today and she was like, I'm not eating any dairy. I'm not eating sugar. I'm not. And she gave this whole list. And I'm like, so like, what are you eating? And basically it was rice and vegetables, you know, no gluten, no this, that, no flour. How long are you going to do this? She goes, oh, a couple weeks. I'm like, okay. So I guess no half and half in your coffee, right? She goes, no half and half in the coffee. It's definitely purge, release, let go. The other thing that's happening is Venus is at the very, very last degree of Pisces. And so when we see that Venus at the last, what's called the anaretic degree, we really feel this whole culmination energy just pulsing in us. And also she's stationing to go direct on Friday. So we're also really finishing up the journey that we've been working on since January when she went into Pisces at this last time. So the last time she was here, we had the guy land the plane in the middle of the Hudson River, and now we have another rescue at sea, this time with Navy snipers, a little more Mars energy. That time was Venus, and this time's Mars, so we have a little shooting on top of the landing at sea. But that whole energy of the safe rescue and people coming home safely, Venus and Pisces. So I think it's interesting. Mark, what are you looking at this week?
Well, notice that with Venus stationing in the last degree of Pisces, that also is a big dream energy. And so we've got both Mars and Venus sending in lots and lots of dreams. Mars doing more of the that urgent action based on the dreams. Okay. And Venus really getting lost in the dreams. So between the two of them, they're kind of both out there running around grabbing material from dreams. And Venus just keeps tossing it, you know, onto the floor, but Mars picks it up and says, here's what we can do with it, you know. So it really is actually a very strong week to pay attention to your dreams, take note of them, and you might as well act on them. Why not? Everybody else is, right? So have a dream and see what you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the Mercury is luckily in a fairly stable sign. Mercury in Taurus is stubborn. Sometimes conversations can get stuck in a place, but it also allows us to slow our thinking down. It's a beautiful writing aspect with Mercury in Taurus. It has a luxuriousness of words, but Mercury in Taurus can give us some mental stability that helps slow down with the emotional rocking and rolling. The sun in a fire sign, the two emotional planets in water signs. There's not much logic there. It's all highly intuitive and reactive and emotional and quite positive in some places, but it's not logical and it's not common sense. So the Mercury in Taurus is giving us a little common sense, but we may find there's a real difference between our mind tells us to do and that it needs a sort of steady progression. It's not interested in running ahead. It's hard to think fast at the moment. We can feel fast, but thinking fast, if we need a little more time to plot it out, think it through, and our emotions, which may be bouncing off the wall and going in all kinds of directions and needing to discuss 10 things. But the multitasking on the heart aspect. Today, Mercury semi-squared Mars can bringing a little sharp edge to our thinking. They've got a few flashes of irritation or a need to cut something off, or it's a mental surgery. It's very helpful if you're cleaning your closets, and it's helpful to take some decisive action. But people may have been a little bit more sharp-edged than they really meant. Tomorrow, Mercury takes that semi-square into Uranus. It, again, won't be a steady, solid day. It is pretty off the wall. The moon in Sagittarius is very restless and kind of excited. It will be squaring that Mars-Uranus conjunction, or the looming Mars-Uranus conjunction, and can, and the tendency is to be starting 20 things and not seeing them through. Mars-Uranus conjunction can bring real ingenuity, but it can also bring the disasters necessary to need that ingenuity. And that it helps us initiate. It's a beginning aspect, so it's going to be initiating new ideas in our life, and can be really helpful for people who have been have been facing loss in their life, have had to let go of a job, or let go of a dream, or let go of some pattern in their life, and they may just now see what they're creating room for. What have they been letting go so they can now begin? And that was one of the gifts that I see coming with the Mars-Uranus. It's also a revolutionary energy. We do not take orders well at the moment from anybody and won't for weeks. This is the time, you know, everybody's got a good idea. I know the several Republican figureheads are promoting a rebellion against taxes on tax day. Their version of the Tea Party, even though it does not logically follow. There are no new taxes that most of the people will be following, and it is taxation with representation, but they're calling in the Boston Tea Party, and I think it's just that Mars-Uranus wants to rebel. I know that there's political hot spots in Thailand right now that are just heating up because this intensity of saying, I'm not going to put up with it. It's not going to be the way it was. I want something new and fresh with that. Mm-hmm. For change is already in progress, it can really help people get moving. I've known people that are very excited about, you know, just beginning to buy a house now that all the prices have dropped, or just beginning to go back to school, or just beginning to do some, realizing what they suddenly, what has been, room has been cleared for in their life. But they're very anxious about this excitement because this restless energy.
Yeah, it really is restless, and I think I heard Mark fall off the line. Mark, you aren't there, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, he went ding, ding. yeah, there we go, Mars-Uranus, Mars, Mark, left, Uranus. He'll be back, though. We know he'll be back. And when
technical
he comes,
difficulties. Technical,
technical difficulties. And when he comes back, we'll let him have his turn talking. I always think about, too, is the Venus is also, because she is at the very last degree of Pisces, she's starting a new cycle of creation and development, and she's going to station at that last degree. And if you think back 8 years to the spring of 2001, you started a cycle back then that ended this spring, and now you're getting ready to go to the next stage of that. So if you think back to spring of 2001, Venus stationed back then at 17 Aries and kind of did the same dance that she's been doing now since February and March, and this far into April. And now she's going to station to go direct, and she's going to review one more time, music over, please, from the beginning of February through March, one more pass, and as she goes through the last part of Aries in May. So what we're doing now is we're seeding the next 8 years. And if you think about your Aries house, the beginning of anything, Aries always starts a new journey, and there Mark arrived. He's our Aries arriving in, right as I'm talking about it. Yep, we heard you ding off, and he's back, Mars and Uranus. So as Venus starts her new journey, she'll start a new eight-year cycle. And when we see that, we all go, okay, great. Forward we go. And so the whole concept of creation is really, really prime now, because Venus is also in Pisces, and she's going to rule when the sun goes into Taurus on Sunday. And she's in charge of that sun, and she says to it, oh, sun in Taurus, what is your most fond dream? And Venus is in her exaltation in Pisces, because she always sees the highest and the clearest and the cleanest vision. And it's just a lovely, lovely energy. And I just want to say to 646-554, we'll pick you up in a few seconds. We're going to let Mark get a call because he got a little talk because he got dropped off, and then we have a caller, Heather and Mark. So, Mark, you pipe up, and then we'll pick up the caller.
Okay. I think overall this Mars and Sun are the big players this week, and has a lot to do with the energy of Pisces and Taurus sort of talking to each other and sort of calling at each other over the Aries energy. We had a little kind of a smash-up with the Aries energy over the last week, 10 days, you know, lots and lots of Aries going on. And now Venus has gone back into Pisces, and Mercury has gone into Taurus, and then the Sun will go into Taurus, so we're easing up a little on the Aries. And we should all notice that, and I think it will bring a little bit of calmness and a kind of sense of appreciation and appreciation of the senses. So look for that this week.
Yeah, much,
all right, we
much
have a caller?
More of a physical. Yeah, I'll try and pick you up, caller. Here we go. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello?
I can hear you.
Hi, who are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. And who are you? Do you have a question for us or a comment or something?
Sure, I do. My name's Leslie. I live in New York.
Hi, Leslie.
And hi. I was actually calling about Venus retrograde. I had some questions about it in relation to the natal chart.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have Venus,
Is it retrograde in your natal chart, or are you talking about the transiting Venus retrograde in your chart?
Well, it's kind of a combination. I have Venus retrograde natally, and then actually this retrograde time, it went retrograde conjunct my natal Venus.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So Venus retrograde natally often feels to me, the retrograde planets are coming back this lifetime and reviewing emotional issues that they've been walking through for a while. And they may have, you may have special ability to deal with that, or it may be some old issues that you're working through. Now, Venus is retrograde natally. That retrograde always sends us back for a review session. It sends us back to remember, to reconnect, and to really notice your own Venus, your own sense of what you love, what hurts, what you let go of, what you value, what you care for, what's romantic to you, where your creative muse lives. And as it retrogrades back, you may have run across several issues in your life that reminded you of all that surrounds that issue. You'd have to look at your natal chart to see what signs, what what, you know, where the rest of your, it fit in your rest of your chart, but it brings you back to your unique self in that and may remind you what stunted you, or you might have run into someone who reminds you of someone who hurt your heart once upon a time, and you get to do a new level of healing on it. So the retrograde back doesn't send us back just to rewound. It sends us back to bring something forward that we may have left behind. At least that's my experience. What do you see, Mark?
Yeah, and it's actually when Venus does go retrograde every other year, you will tune into that in more than most people do. Most people feel like things are slowing down and getting all gummed up in their connections with other people and their artistic endeavors, all of the Venus things. But for you, it's going to feel a lot more natural, and you'll feel like the rest of the world is beginning to look at their Venus things more like you do. And that's with, you know, more introspection, more of an awareness of the past, a sense of choice about how you're handling it. So actually everybody becomes more conscious of Venus and what Venus means in our lives. And they start to sound a lot more like you. So you usually that feels like a kind of a welcome time.
And was your Venus 29 Pisces or was it 15 Aries?
Well, it's 17 Aries.
17 Aries, okay. So the one that really was big was last
Aries.
The one that was in 2001, it actually stationed on your Venus. Venus stationed at 17
mm-hmm.
Aries. And so for you, that cycle that started in 2001 was really particularly profound. And so this year when Venus goes past 15 or gets to 17, which is going to be on, looks to be around May 22nd, 23rd, you're going to really understand what this Venus retrograde is about. But with living with Venus retrograde in Aries in general, it does make it feel much more comfortable. And also when Venus is retrograde, very often nice things come to you. So I had one client the other day who got a job offer on Venus retrograde and was kind of nervous. I'm like, no, you have Venus retrograde in your chart. You get good stuff. So did you get good stuff on this Venus retrograde? Pardon? You there, Les?
Did I get good stuff? Well, well, I think I'm waiting to see. Maybe perhaps a raise maybe coming. I've had a lot of lovers from my past coming back with marriage proposals.
Yeah.
Things like that.
That's the recession.
A lover that I had at the beginning of it moved away to another country. Moved back. Home country, so but I don't know, he may be coming back, we don't know.
Okay, so big relationship. Well, Venus often, when I mean, I know I found old love letters from the guy who I dated when I was in college, because I've been throwing away things on the Venus retrograde and papers mainly because it's in my paper house, and I found old love letters. I'm like, Venus retrograde often brings back old lovers. So, but yeah, I would watch, and I would look, particularly towards the end of May 22nd, 23rd, to see what shows up then, because that's when you're actually having your Venus return. So really what you've been doing is kind of having a cosmic cleansing, because it's been happening right before it gets to your Venus. So I would watch on that 22nd and 23rd when you have your actual Venus return and see what happens then, because this is all kind of – all the stuff that's been going on all spring has been leading up to that.
Okay.
Remember, with Venus retrograding in on that place, that you don't have to go back and do it the same way. That as old lovers show up, or this new relationship, where the person left for a while, some of the oldest emotional issues or dilemmas that you may have come up, and particularly with Venus and Aries, about how can you be both passionate and independent at the same time? How do you connect intensely and do things on your own terms? And the Venus-Aries dilemma may come up again. You look back at some of your old, possibly knee-jerk or automatic reactions to making sure that you create your independence while you're creating your intensity, and say, look, how can I do this a little bit more finesse? How can I balance my needs and have faith in my independence to the point where I can be more open and calm and centered while I'm dealing with these emotional issues?
Yeah, that definitely relates, especially with the past lover, because he came around, maybe it was in 2001. No, it was a little before. And he professed his love, and I bolted from not have. I didn't want that sort of dependency. And then now I'm sort of like, well, it might be nice to maybe, you know.
I've had 8 years to think about it, and, you know, it might be a good thing. Yeah, totally.
And that what would love look like on my terms?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would love look like when I could still feel independent, where it's Rilke's two solitudes touching, not suddenly this person is all needy on me.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
And if finding a new way of approaching this, you know, what terms would make this safe for me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of times Venus retrograde also, I my take on it is I also kind of look and say a lot of your loves will be old loves from other lifetimes. So often that the issues that you pull in with a retrograde Venus are tied to resolving old issues that you had about love, where you said, okay, send me back in for a do-over. Give me the opportunity to work on this stuff and figure out what love actually is. And then, you know, that's what I want to do this time through. So I often think of retrogrades as being an opportunity to redo. And while they're retrograde for a chunk of our life, at some point that Venus of yours is going to go direct. And at that point you may say, oh, okay, now that I've figured this out, I figured out what love is. Now I'm ready to go forward. So, but it's very cool. Good. So thanks. Any other questions before we let you go?
No, that's it. I mean, I would have a million, but I'll just call another week.
Call in next week. Yeah, cool.
Okay.
Tell your friends, too. We're new to this, so this is kind of fun for us, too. So thanks, Leslie. You're our caller for tonight. Thank you, thank you. So
all
have
right,
a good night and a good week.
Thanks.
All right, cool. That was fun. All right, so what do we do next? Forward on the week?
Okay, I think we hadn't gotten farther along the week. We've gotten through Tuesday. We've gotten through the 15th.
Okay, so we have the rest of the week. Okay, and anybody else wants to call? We have 8 minutes left, 347-215-8881. Repeat, 347-215-8881. We'll take your call in about 5 minutes. Okay, forward with the rest of the week. I think the week looks fabulous in the sense of that Mars Uranus is really a culmination. We are sitting, going to be popping, and stuff's going to be releasing. I'm kind of thinking that volcano up in Alaska is going to blow. Because Mars is pressure and action, and Uranus is explosions. It also really shows up as weird feet action. You know, there's going to be lots of weird feet story. You know, people hurting their feet, cutting their feet, falling off their feet. There was the lady that went swimming in the polar bear cave over in Germany. She climbed three fences to get in there and swim with the polar bears, and they attacked her in the water. That was a nice little Mars Uranus story, not on the positive end, but, you know, whatever. And it also is a really good week for expressing, because whenever planets join, Mars and Uranus join, they start a new two-year cycle, and so or two-and-a-half-year cycle. It's a new cycle beginning in our lives on Wednesday, and so also being very aware of that power of creation, because it's in Pisces, and Pisces is our dreams. So yes, Mark's comment earlier about really vivid dreams, but it's also got a real lot of energy around exploding us into the future. So I'm like,
right. And another thing that helps us with that dreaminess or the visionary quality is that that Sun sextiles Neptune that day. It also helps in stirring up the dreams and, you know, reminding us that vision is possible. I think it's one of the pieces we're seeing now politically, personally, is that we're seeing the vision or the dreams or the ideas that this administration has are now being tested, and we're seeing how they work and what needs to be done to make them happen. It's becoming more concrete, which is, I think, really wonderful. So look and see how your dreams can be made concrete this week. The moon was heading out of Sagittarius. It goes into Capricorn on tax day, and the next on the 16th and on the 17th. It's in a highly competitive, highly competent time, a very good time to say what you mean what you say, get plans started, get pieces done. People will want, if you have a meeting during that moon in Capricorn phase, you will want your ducks in a row and your points made. You want to come back to the vision, but line up the documentation that you need to back your vision. And if you do that, magic can happen. On the day that Venus turns direct, and what do you think is going to happen on the 17th as Venus turns direct?
Well, I kind of kept looking at it as a photo shoot, you know, where there's a you know, Venus has been going backwards in Aries, and I don't know about you, but I've been eating a lot of sugar and sweets. So, and everybody I know has been like a little crazy on the food. So I think a Venus going direct that day is like a really good day to kind of say, okay, on to plan, you know, forward we go. And also that Venus in Pisces at the last degree really is that, you know, if the outfit doesn't fit, go naked. Have a really good time. Just focus on what you're trying to create, because it's a very powerful creating energy. And I just kind of see it as a real strong energy. And all the other planets are very bustly around her that day. So, you know, it's kind of like they're all assisting Venus with her vision. And then next week she's going to meet up with Mars and really get going. Mark, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's really true. It's not like there's going to be, you know, like one famous hour during the day when we all feel this Venus go direct. We'll all feel it, you know, in a little bit different way, but we'll be very much aware of Venus. And I think there'll also be a strong sensibility for how we're going to use the creative powers of Venus. You know, we often think of the romance and relationship with Venus, but there's also the whole artistic end of it. And when Venus is in Pisces, that's really accentuated a lot. In some ways, using the Venus in Pisces for artistic endeavors is probably a little easier than relationship, you know, because if you start, you know, start a romance under Venus in Pisces, it'll be very idealized, but hard to say how realistic it'll end up being. Whereas if you start an artistic project with Venus in Pisces, it's going to be very full of image and very open-ended, can go in a lot of different directions. So, you know, it's as big as the ocean. And I think we'll actually all of us this week have kind of an ocean full of images to play with, and that'll stay with us going forward.
Very cool, yeah. And then just to remember, on the 19th, which is Sunday, the sun goes into Taurus. And so what that does is that starts us into the really fixed part of the season of spring here on the Northern Hemisphere. So we're going to start seeing the flowers bloom. And with Venus in Pisces as the ruler of that Taurus sun, it's going to be a particularly dreamy and very possibly wet spring, because the ruler's in water. But it also is kind of a real holographic. I mean, I always think of Venus in Pisces as being that multidimensional holographic energy where you kind of, you know, you're kind of swimming. You know how like when you listen to music and you kind of swim in the sound, and then suddenly you notice the flute, and you've maybe heard the music 20 times before, but you never really heard the flute. And then you hear the violin kind of up, and you go, I never noticed that violin there. It's a real time of major sensory stimulation. So the other thing to do with this is to really give yourself permission to have your senses stimulated in ways maybe that you don't normally do that, because this is really a time of wanting you to kind of ground, because you are starting a new 8-year cycle and you are starting this whole new 2-year cycle of Mars Neptune about the dream and the image and the vision. And so the beauty of it, what does the beauty look like? And with that Mars in water, the lady who tells us that it's almost time for our show to be over.
I have one more comment.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That and on the 21st, the 20th, on 22nd and 24th, Venus and Mars are heading into Aries. So really enjoy everything Anne just said about the depth of this emotional swimming, to take it into that sensitivity and watch very carefully that you do not hurt people's feelings while all the planets are in Pisces, because they will react next week when those planets go into Aries. And we'll talk more about that next week. Until then, this is Access Astrology. You can find us on astronyc.com. Find out how to reach any of us through that. And we hope to see you next week as we bring accessible astrology to the Internet. Saying goodbye, Heather. And we have Mark.
Mark signing off from New York.
Yep. And Anne, too, here in New York, on Upper East Side. So we'll see you guys next week. And remember, check Access Astrology out, and you can email us and you can call us. Tell your friends about us, too. And add us to your favorites page. Next week, we're going to add tweets so we can tweet you, whatever that means. And in the meantime, have a great week. So goodbye from Anne, and goodbye from
Heather. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ciao.
Good night.
Bye. Have a good one.